We're towards the end of Siman Lamed Beis, the halachas of actually making and writing the tefillin. We're up to Sif Mem Hei, and we will be doing all the way till the end of the Siman, that's Sif Nun Beis. So we begin with Sif Mem Hei. Now the Machaber says, Yiten kol parsha babaya shala, shetei zguhufa mu'umid bevesa. You're supposed to put the parshias of the tefillin shel Rosh standing up. It means not lying down, they should be standing up. The Mishnah Berurah mentions that bidyeved, it is kosher even if they're lying. But the Mishnah Berurah gives a very important definition of the word bidyeved here. He says bidyeved means in retrospect, all of those times that you've put on tefillin till now, with the parshis lying, you were yotze. But if you ask what to do from tomorrow on, have your tefillin open and let the parshis be put in standing up. That means bidyeved here means only with regard to what was already done, wearing the tefillin that is. Not that bidyeved, if you made the tefillin and sewed them up this way, you can leave it this way. You were just yotze bidyeved. Sif Memvav. Yahagilyon Elyon Tchila. They're supposed to be standing up with the top of the parsha on top. The bottom of the parsha on the bottom. Gilyon Tatlon Etzat Pehabatim. Bir Halacha mentions that there are some who hold that it would be possible bidyeved if it's not this way and will go on. Because there's a little more than that, the Ramah adds, Rosh ha-parshi emunach litzad yamin ha-kore. The parshi should be put into the batim in a way that had your batim been transparent and someone would be standing in front of you, looking towards you, he would see the beginning of each parsha to the right of that particular bias, he would see that in front of him. So that you're supposed to go and roll them up in a way that the beginning of the parsha is facing the right side of the person that would be reading it, facing the one that is wearing it. And once again, the Mishnah Berurah says that there are some who say that if it's not that way, it's pasul bidyeved. Next, Mem Zayin, im kosav kol arba parshios beklaf echod ksherim. What happens if you wrote all four in one klaf, so it is kosher? Now, it is kosher bidyeved. But what does bidyeved mean? Obviously, you're not going to be able to put them into four batim standing up. If it's all one big cloth, then what you're going to have to do is have it lying down. Afiluein revach b'neim, even though there's not any space between them. In fact, in the case where there is space, you should cut them and separate them. But if there's no space, you won't be able to separate them by cutting them. Ubavad shehechut o meshicha ben kol bayis ubayis. You should have some kind of chut, some kind of string, or a gid, between them to signify that we are talking about four different parshis that are supposed to be in four different batim. Now, this is in the Shel Rosh. In the Shel Yad, the halach is Shel Yad, kosav arba parshis beklaf echad. In a Shel Yad, you're supposed to write it on one klaf, roll it up, and put it into the bias, because there's only one bias. V'golalosa misofon l'tchilason, and here the Machaber goes through the very same thing that he went through with regard to the Shel Rosh on the Shel Yad, and that is that you roll them up the end of the Parsha towards the beginning of the Parsha. V'kora klaf alehem, on top of that you put a little bit of parchment, v'sar shel egel, and on top of that we put some hair of a calf. And remember when it came to the Shel Rosh, it said that we are mistopic just where that hair goes. So we first, what we do is we put hair, cloth, and then hair again, just to be yotze. And the Mishnah Berurah there mentioned the bidyeved, the order really doesn't make a difference. Come on, b'shel rosh. Now, im kasvam al arba klafim, what happens if you wrote the shel yad on four different klafim? V'inicham barba batim, and you put them into four batim. So what did you do? You made a tefillah shel rosh, really. And you put the four parshis and four separate klafim. The halach is yotze, you are yotze, but v'hu sheyitle or al arba batim shenirim kabayis echad. You will have to cover up this additional shel rosh to make it into a shel yad. That means, if you actually take tefillin that are made exactly like a shel rosh, you made four batim, four compartments of the tefillin, put four separate parshis on different klafim, in each, you put one in each of those batim, but you then cover the whole thing up with another layer of leather, the halacha is that it is kosher. The halacha there is that it's kosher. The Bir Halacha says that you have to make sure that you're not only covering the bias and the front of it where you see the four batim, but you must also cover the sides because you're not supposed to have the shins on your shel yad. The shins are only to be on the shel rosh and not on the shel yad. So you have to make sure to cover the shins as well. Says the Ramah, Hago v'haminag l'dapkam b'devik, she'akol kiklaf echad. The minig is that you should go and paste the four parshias together and make one out of them. In other words, we are machmir that the fact that you just covered the whole thing over with leather and made it look like a shel yad over the four compartments is not sufficient. But what you're really supposed to do is make sure that you take all four parshias and glue them together. You glue them together in order that it be one, in order that it be considered like one, one big cloth of four parshias. Now, according to the Ramah, you're supposed to be medabik it, which means that there's nothing wrong with writing four parshias and then gluing them together for the shel yad. It means, generally speaking, what happens if instead of writing one big shel yad with four parshias on it, one wants to write four separate parshias and paste them together? Now, lechatchila, that's not the way to write it, but if you did for some reason write the four separate ones, then that would be mutter. Not only that, Mishnah Berurah says, what happens if the sofer finds that one of the parshas has a mistake in it? He's got to go and change the parsha. So the Mishnah Berurah, for example, in the last parsha, he finds a mistake somewhere in the middle of it. So he's got to go and change that whole parsha. So what's he going to do? He should cut off that parsha, write that parsha again on another cloth and paste it on lichatchila. He says that that's the way to do it. Lichatchila. Cut off the part that's puzzle, put on a new one. Remember, you cannot change the order. We were talking about the last parsha. You couldn't go ahead and change one of the earlier parshas because within the shel yad, all four of the parshas have to be written in the correct order. Now, the Prima Godim says that the Ramah mentions that our minig is to glue them, the Prima Godim says that is not ma'akif. In other words, even if you didn't glue them, the Ramah would be molded to the Mechaber, that if you have four parshis separate on separate klafim, so long as at the end of the day you go and cover the whole thing with a piece of leather so that it does not look like a shel rosh, it will be kosher. Further, Memches. In Tzipa Habatim Bezohav, what happens if you covered the batim with gold? Someone decided, black tefillin, well, that's not enough. He'd like to have a whole layer of gold. He wants to gild his tefillin. O Bo'or Behema Tmeya, or with the hide of a non-kosher animal, psulim. The halachi is that they're a pasul. Meaning the outside of the tefillin must be leather, and leather which is kosher, not gold and not the hide of Behemoth Tmeya. Now, the Prima Godim says, what happens if you put a thick layer of paint on your tefillin? Do we consider that like covering it with another material? And he says, no, that is kosher. He says that is kosher. Although lechatchila we saw that dyeing the tefillin is supposed to be done with something that is ein bo mamish, it is not supposed to be something that is so thick you can peel it off. The Prima Godim says that if you did b'dieved, that is not considered having a layer of some foreign substance on it, especially and only because the ink we use, the paint we use, is kosher. It is not or behem tmeah. Memtes. Halacha l'moshe misinai. Shu tfilin nitforin begidei behema v'chayev tohorin. V'tov litfor begidei shor. Your tefillin are made like a flap. What you have is the top of your tefillin, you have the ketzitza on top. In the shel yad, that is a cube. In the shel rosh, it is the four compartments together that together make something of a cube. They are sitting on a base, which we said had to be wider than the ketzitza. The ketzitza is sitting on the base. And underneath, it is closed off by a titura, by the bottom. So it's like a flap, and it's open. You have to sew that down together. There's a halacha l'moshe misinai that the tefillin have to be sewn down together. With what? The gidin of a behema or chaya that are tohor. And he says, tov litfor begidei shor. The best is to use the gidin of a shor. You should be using the veins of a shor. The Mishnah Berurah says that the best thing is to use from the leg. They are white. They are white, which makes it nicer, and they're also very strong. And it says that what you could do is you can actually make them, if they're too stiff, you can use a stone to make them flexible. You know, scrape them over with a stone, and that makes them flexible. It almost comes out like linen at times. Now, what happens if you used a giddin of a behemah tmeya? The halach is bidiyevit, it is pasul. A behemah Torah is kosher, even though it's not a shor. Even if it's an avelo or trefa, even if it wasn't slaughtered properly. But it must be of a kosher and a kosher species. With regard to the gid anashe, now the gid anashe is aser ba'achila. Does that constitute a gid pasul or not? In other words, when it comes to nevelo trefa, we say it doesn't make a difference as long as it's a kosher species. How about a non-kosher species of gid of a kosher species of animal? So that is a suffix if it's good or not. Now, what happens if you don't have gidin? What are you supposed to tie it with? So we're going to see that in the next sif. Let's go a little further. Ein liknos gidin me'einim yehudim. You're not supposed to buy gidin from non-Jews. Mishum dechashinon shema shalbeim atme'ein. Because we fear that they may be selling you something of a behem atme'ein. Now, the halakha is like this. The majority of gidin on the market that are being sold for sewing are kosher. They're coming from kosher animals. They're made to sew tefillin. There is a small percentage, in the days of the Mechaber, it was certainly this way, there's a small percentage that is also non-kosher. I don't know exactly why they were selling these giddin, why anyone other than someone making tefillin would have any use for the blood vessels of animals. But apparently they were on sale. It was a miut. So the question is, can you go by the majority? Can you go bus a rove? Can you assume that if you have a non-Jew selling them, well, since the majority of gidin on the market are of a kosher animal, then why should I suspect that this is of a non-kosher animal? The halacha is like this. The halacha is we have a rule of kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami, which is that if you're dealing with something that is clearly a source of iser and sits in its place, there's a clear source to iser that is around, the halacha is that we do not go by the majority. The minority gets a chashivas as if it is equal to the majority. And the halacha, therefore, is that even if you have a miyut, if you have a minority there that is not good, then that will make everything not kosher. Whereas, kol deporish, something that is not, it is no longer in its original place, if it's left its original place, there we say meruba parish, you're allowed to go by the majority. The Mishnah Berurah therefore paskins that if you're talking about a non-Jew who is selling gidin in his own shop, in his own house, that is called kavua. And you cannot go by the majority, and that's why the Mechaber is ruling that they're a puzzle, that you couldn't buy from a non-Jew. Whereas, if a non-Jew is just walking around and selling gidin, since that is porish, it has left its initial place, it loses its chashivas, and there we do go by the majority, and we don't say that the minority is considered equal to the majority. So there you can go, Basarov. So halach l'maisa. Mishnah Berurah comes out that if you have a non-Jew who is selling gidin, just walking around selling gidin, you're allowed to buy from him. Obviously, one would have to ascertain that the metzias is that the majority of gidin on the market are really, really kosher ones, and you don't know for a fact that what he's selling you is not from a non-kosher animal. Now we go further. The Mechaber says, "Mokum she'in gidin metzuyim," where it is uncommon to find gidin altogether. So what do you do? Tofrin betardilush she'osin min aklaf. So he says that you can use a string made of parchment. Achi is damnu lehem gidin, until you'll actually get gidin. And others bring down that what they would do is they would use the intestines of the animal for sewing. Now, the halacha is that you should not be making a bracha unless you actually sew them with gidin. Mishnah Berurah paskens that while you can put on the tefillin, since the halacha l'moshe mi'sinai is to use gidin, we do not make a bracha on tefillin that were sewn with anything other than gidin. Furthermore, The Mishnah Berurah says, what if you sewed it with something else? Let's say you sewed it with this parchment that was turned into string. And now you got hold of Gidin. He says, you must first remove the parchment string and then put in the Gidin. Because if your tefillin is held together by parchment string, then you're putting Gidin in there accomplishes nothing. In other words, what you must first do is remove that so that it is the sewing that is holding it down. It's got to be the sewing is what's holding it down. Okay, Sif Nun Aleph. Yitfar Shlosha Tfiris Bechal Tzad. Each of the four sides of the tefillin, that means if we're talking about the titura, which is the base of the tefillin, so you make holes in the base, and you should have three stitches on each side, which altogether add up to 12 Keneged the Yud Beis Shvatim. So you're supposed to have three on each side. V'chut ha-tfir yisoved mishtei ruchos. You don't just sew in and out, but you've got to sew with two sets of gidin, or better yet, the gid itself is very long, and then it goes back and forth, so that you're sewing in and out, and then at the same time, out and in the same place. So that from each hole to hole, it is sewn both on top as well as on the bottom. And then the gid will meet inside the hole. And the Mechaber says, V'yavir chut ha-tfira ben kol bayis u'bayis. The chut ha-tfira shall l'chatchila go between the bottom of the shorosh. So that, aside from sewing on all four sides, you also supposed to put the gidin to go, that long gid, to go through the groove between the tefillin, between each of the four bottom of the tefillin shorosh. Now, in the case where you have one big parsha, all four parshas and one big cloth that you're using for the shorosh, so there you must have a gid going between them to separate between them. In a case where they're in four separate batim, it's only elechatchila to have the chut atfira going through the batim to show that you have four separate batim here. Hagami umloasarak yutfiris opasmazad, and if so, the Ramah says that the number 12, although lechatchila you should have 12 sewings, it is not makiv b'diyevid. Then he says, v'yesh misha omer shiyud beis tfiris elu yu b'chut echad. There are those who say that the 12 tfiris should all be with one chut, means with one gid. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that if you start sewing in tears, there are those who say that you cannot tie it together. It has to be one whole chut. Why is that? Because if it tore, it shows that it's not very strong. But let's say you realize that your gid is not long enough. There, lechatchila, you can tie two gidin together. If necessary, you can go ahead and actually spin them together, wind them together, the way we spin thread. In that case, he says that the shazira should be lishma. But when you spin it, that should be done lishma. Although some say that you don't have to. Then we go further. Nun beis. Yes, before I go on to Nun beis, there are some things that the Mishnah Berurah brings up. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's got to be that the sewing is what's actually holding the tefillin together. In the Bir Halacha, he's got a problem. What's commonly done, and it's done this very day too, is that they glue the bottom together, because they're afraid that the sewing is not going to hold it together well enough, and eventually it's going to open up a drop, and it's even going to warp, and you're going to be left without ribua, without your square on all sides. So that's why they glue it. So Mishnah Berurah's got a problem. He leaves this as a tzorech iyun. And that is, how can you put glue there and then claim that you're sewing it down? The glue is holding it, and your sewing is doing nothing. The halacha l'moshe m'sinei of sewing with gidin is that the gidin have to hold your tefillin together. It's not just that you decorate them by embroidering stitches around. He leaves that as a tzarechiyin. And as a result of that, there are some batim machers that today, that first of all will only, what they'll do is they'll sew the tefillin while the glue is still wet so that the glue couldn't hold it together. Others put just a little bit of glue there, not enough that could have held it without the stitching, but once you have the stitching there, it holds it so that it doesn't start coming apart. Then we go further. Nunbeis, Yachnis Harutsua Tochama Varta. Remember, the base, the ktsitsa, was made like a flap, and the back of it is where you actually stick the ritsua through, both Nishal Yad and Nishal Rush, and that is called the Mavarta. So you should put the ritsua into the Mavarta. V'yase kesher k'min dalet b'shal Rush or k'min yud b'shal Yad. You should make a kesher in the form of a dalet for the Shal Rush and a yud for the Shal Yad. L'hashlim osyo shakai imashin shabashal Rush. So you have the shin on the Shal Rush, the dalet as the kesher of the Shal Rush, and the yud in the kesher of the Shal Yad. The Mishnah Berurah brings that there are two minhagim for the kesher of the Shal Rush. Some do what's called a mem, which means that you have a dalid into a dalid, so it looks like just a mem. And others have it that it is a real dalid. Mishnah Berurah prefers the real dalid over what he calls the mem. V'noagim lahavir or ala bayis shal yad l'rochav hazroa. V'yarach bo k'rochav habayis. Now this piece of Ramah we are not knowing like. There were those who used to cover the tefillin with a ritzua to make sure that they're not gonna get worn down, since we end up covering our shal yad under the clothing. But the minhag is not to do this today. There is a minhag to cover the shal yad with a plastic or parchment or even cardboard cover, but leave a little bit of a hole in it. And the reason being so that it should be open for when you make the bracha. V'lo yasa ha'ksharim el'acha shosa ha'shim mitfilin. V'acharkach yasa ha'dalet v'acharkach ha'yud k'seder osius ha'shem. The shakai should be written in order. Therefore, first the bias of the shal yad of the shal rush is made that has the shin on it. Then you do the kesher of the shal rush, and only afterwards can you do the kesher of the shal yad, in order that the shakai be written in order.